The scripture reading today comes from Revelation 21, first six verses. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things are passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will freely give water from the life-giving spring." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Change, progress, transformation. These are all words that stop us in our tracks. Like fire, they seem to be ablaze with danger. We stop short, not wanting to get too close, lest they burn us. In our attempts to fireproof ourselves, we have become confused, and that confusion separates us from the transforming power and love of God. Our confusion is this. We see change and transformation as being synonymous, but they may not be. Change seems to be something that is self-produced and comes from within ourselves. Transformation, spiritually speaking, comes from beyond us, from God. This confusion has long since tripped up the church's pursuit of our mission. We saw this portrayed in the Advent movie, The Christmas Candle, casting shadows over the need for a simple candle. In the age of modern marvels, the pastor, Reverend David Richmond, decides to have electricity installed in the 19th century village church. He clearly articulates his convictions on change and progress, saying, "It's high time Gladberry see the light. For too long, the church has stumbled about in the dark ages when it should be lighting the way. In fact," he said, "I believe the church should be the first place to embrace the future." Many well-intentioned devotees to the progress of modern marvels have continued to attempt to rescue the church from the dark ages, lighting the way for progress. So much so that the watchwords of congregational vitality have become innovation and change, as the church attempts to keep pace with progress, having long since abandoned all hope of ever being able to lead the way as the pace of change has dramatically accelerated. To this, Andrew Rood, author of the series Ministry in a Secular Age, would say, "Bah humbug." Rood would be the first to remind Reverend Richmond of something he already knew. The power of God comes from above, beyond things of the earth. The mission of the church is to encounter and make known the presence of God, who has the power to transform our lives and the world in which we live. Reverend Richmond endeavors to light up the church with the brightness of 1,000 candles. He encourages, encounters a very stiff resistance, and quickly, that resistance turns into mayhem. Ultimately, finds himself aware that he has inadvertently emptied the church when he was called to fill the pulpit. What a painfully clear reflection of what happens when we become more committed to progress and modern marvels than we are to the transforming presence of God, which is ever working in our midst. Well, where does that leave us then? Is the church to remain in the dark ages? Is the light of a simple candle really all we will ever need? What about God? What is God's take on all this talk about change and progress and transformation? Specifically, how might we best embrace the future as it meets us in the coming new year? Are we to avoid progress, or should we enter it boldly? Are we to change things? And if so, what shall we change? Are we to allow ourselves to be changed, or should we resist that too? Is God at work doing something that is above and beyond what we have power to do? The future is indeed unfolding before us. How shall we embrace it at the beginning of this new year? As for beginnings, that's where John went to open his gospel that we read on Christmas Eve. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was echoing the opening words of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some say John was audaciously claiming to be writing a new Genesis, a new beginning. In John's eyes, that is exactly what he was doing. John would also write these closing words in the book of Revelation. The one seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." John knew that God was a God of new beginnings. The Apostle Paul comes along and takes it one step farther. He writes in 2 Corinthians that if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of a new creation. Old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. New beginnings are God's thing, and we have a place in those beginnings. God is at work making a way where there is no way. We, too, are being made new. This is more than simple or even complicated change. This is spiritual transformation. Change that comes from above, from beyond us. Change, transformation, new life that comes from God. This is a transformation that happens not only at the beginning of the year, but is a continual new beginning. I like one rabbi's interpretation and translation of the words in Genesis, who prefers to read it as in a beginning, as if there are endless beginnings in the cycle of life. Creation and life itself, he tells us, is an ongoing story of new beginnings. God, the Creator, who created the earth and the universe and saw that it was good, continues to create. Creation continues, and the Creator remains active, always seeking the best for all people, desiring that we may truly live. Indeed, in a few minutes, we will affirm this shared faith at the communion table, professing that we believe in God, who has created and is creating. Still another paraphrase of "in the beginning" could be, "It's just the beginning." We tend to recognize and denote the beginning of something, as well we should. But it would be very short-sighted indeed to celebrate the beginning of something like a new year and then immediately neglect all that follows that beginning. For instance, there is no shortage of voices who are very committed to the words of creation in the Genesis beginning. Yet we know very well what happens when we celebrate the beginning of God's good creation and forget about the responsibility that ensues for us to be diligent and faithful stewards to sustain God's creation of beauty. Genesis was a beginning in which God spoke a word, "Let there be light." And it was so. John's beginning focused on where the Word became flesh, when God's purpose and intention went beyond being spoken, when the Word or purpose of God was revealed in Christ. But even that was just the beginning. In the life and ministry of Jesus, the Word had to continue to be fleshed out. The purpose of forgiveness, healing, mercy, grace, joy, love, and resurrection, which in itself is a new beginning, had to continue to be lived out in the flesh of the person of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, when the Word was with God, when the Word was God, it was just the beginning. But John's gospel is trying to impress upon us that the beginning starts here, but it touches all eternity. We gather on this, the first day of a new year. It is fitting that we celebrate the good gift of the new year that stretches out in front of us. It is right that we should thank God for the promises and the possibilities, the opportunities that this new year brings our way. But this is just the beginning. Let us rest assured that God has yet more light and grace to break forth this year. Let us say with the Queen of Sheba, who said upon seeing the might and wisdom of King Solomon, "The half has not been told." Indeed, the half has not been told. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love God. This is just the beginning of God's light and grace. Let our focus go beyond the awareness of blessing, of promise and joy. Let us see also the demands and the responsibility that the new beginning of this year brings us. I think one of my favorite adages of Scripture is, "Let not he who puts on the armor boast as he who takes it off." Where will we be as this year wears on? Will we still rejoice as opportunity begins to bring greater demands of us? Let us remember, this is just the beginning. But the way we give ourselves to that ongoing transformation of the Spirit will not only affect our direction this year, but also has the power to touch all eternity. With this knowledge, let us make preparations for the year that lies ahead. Let us be mindful that the spiritual journey that is before us this year is but another leg of a life marathon rather than a short sprint. It will be necessary to replenish and renew our souls as we plod our way ever forward. We will need daily prayer. We will need weekly worship and regular fellowship with the body of Christ. We will need the discipline of service and of faithful giving to develop our spiritual potential and to reach our fullest joy. One way the church of the past has referred to communion was strength for the journey. Believers through the age have turned to the Lord's table to find strength for living and for dying in faith. Today, on the first day of the year and throughout the year, let the church be the first place we embrace God's future. Amen.